Last week, TV's family was here. It was really good to get to know all of them, just at least to meet them and such. And this weekend, all my boys are here, so I love that. So it's good to have them with me and Carla, and so it is always good to have family. But I just want to go right into what I want to go into today. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in an odd story today. Sometimes people like, I don't even know it's there, but it's in 2 Kings chapter 6, and you're going to find it may be something that you've read before, something you've just read over. You may not find a lot of significance in it, but I want to tell you there's a lot in it. But it's in 2 Kings chapter 6, and so we're going to be there this morning. I want to ask you, I want to ask you a couple of things here this morning, and we'll get through some things here. But I want to, this vision is a big thing for me. I see a little vision here. I see some other things in here. I see where they draw to. I think things were dropped. And we're going to put all that together as we go through this little story here. So, 2 Kings chapter 6, we're going to start in verse 1. I have a New King James Version today. It says, "And the sons of the prophet said to Elijah, 'See now, the place where we dwell with you is too small for us.'" Getting to that point where they're saying, a lot of people are drawing to Elijah right now. A lot of miracles, a lot of things are going, a lot of guys are just drawing to him, and the house is so full, they're saying, we gotta do something about it. "So the place where we dwell with you, Elijah, is too small for us." He says, "So please let us go to the Jordan, and let every man take a beam from there, and let us make there a place where we may dwell." So he answered, "Go." And then one said, "Please consent to go with your servants." And he answered, "I will go." So he went with them, and when they came to the Jordan, they cut down trees. But as one was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water, and he cried out, and he said, "Alas, master, for it was borrowed." So the man of God said, "Where did it fall?" And he showed him with a place, and so he cut off a stick and threw it in there, and he made that iron float. Therefore he said, "Pick it up for yourself." So he reached out his hand and he took it. One of the oddest stories in scripture, and then boom, he goes right into a whole thing, and this thing is just like this little piece, it's just put in here, and sometimes people wonder why. But I want to share with you a couple things that I can get out of this. But I want to challenge you today. It's the new year. We all talk about resolutions. We all talk about resolutions and those things. And some people say, they're not worthy. They're not worthy of doing. But I know this, sometimes I need another shot to try something again and another opportunity. Sometimes the new year gives you that. I want to challenge you. The only reason I say that is because a few people have talked to me here recently and have been discouraging to other people because they were really trying to make a difference in their life, and because we sometimes get jealous of what's going on in someone else's life. But here we come finding out, we'll draw back to that, here we come finding out that these servants to Elijah were saying that there is no more room. So somebody gets this vision idea that says, you know what? Out of necessity, we need to go, we need to make this thing bigger. Okay? That was out of what a human person sees out of necessity. Sometimes, when God gives us vision, we don't know why, but we need to follow what he calls us to do. But here's one out of necessity. And so he goes and he asks for permission from Elijah, and Elijah turns around and he says, "Go." But the great part here is the servant has the tenacity to say, "Well, why don't you go with us?" I want to tell you right there, there's a lot of people, a lot of places, a lot of churches today, that where when people will ask the pastor to do something, they'll say, "No, I'm not going to do that. That's not in my repertoire. That's not what I do for the church." There are a lot of churches where the pastors are lazy. They don't want to serve. They don't want to work. Here we have one, Elijah. He knows, and he wants to go. Why? Because he knows how to work with ox and fields and things, because that's where he kind of came from. But he says, "I'll go with you." That's an encouragement. When your pastor wants to go with you and do something, and you see your pastor working, it should be an encouragement, right? It should be an example. And I guarantee you this, when Elijah moved, if there was any of the other servants that didn't want to go, I guarantee you when Elijah started going, they started following. Okay? So they were following, okay? But then he comes to this place here. He comes to this place where they're working. Well, we're working. And as I look out and I see some of you right now, I see pastor, I see pastor's wife, I see guys, people working at this. Some of you work at the soup kitchen. I see like Alan, he does more than what and most of you would even know what he does. He helps other churches sometimes, and he goes down to the library, and he's doing the live shows down, the recorded shows down there, and when we go preach and sing and things. So Alan's doing that stuff. Dan working on Wednesdays, and you got sound booth people. You got all that. So we're all working, and we're all serving. There's a lot of people doing things here in this church and ministries, and we don't know always what everybody's doing. But this guy is swinging away, and he is serving away, and then there goes the axe head. And when the axe head flies, and it lands, we can't get it. We start stressing. I don't know where your relationship with this Christ is today or where it's been, but I guess most of you today, you have somewhere, some of you probably are not at your best right now in your relationship with Christ. Some of you probably right now are not in your best relationship when it comes to serving the Lord. You've done better. I'm not here to beat you up, but I want to tell you how to get it back. You see, he lost that axe head. He lost it, and it flew, and it went into the water, and he could not get it because iron sinks. And it sunk quick. And I want to tell you, when your relationship with Christ is not right, it sinks quick. When you start getting an attitude, when you start serving the Lord, your service sinks. And it's not where it needs to be. And you know, the first one that usually knows that is the one doing it. The first one, when your relationship with Christ is not right, you're the first one to usually notice it. And if you don't, there are some signs that kind of come up. And some of those signs is you get bitter, you get angry, you get upset with people. And the people you get upset with are the ones that are serving the Lord. Because it doesn't feel right that they're serving and you're not. Or you get upset with people who have a close relationship with the Lord because you used to have that, but now you're upset. So this guy drops it. He knew he couldn't get it. He knew he couldn't get it back. I want to tell you something. When you lose and you drop it, you drop that relationship with God, you drop that close relationship with Christ, you drop that service with the Lord, you drop that commitment that you once had with Christ that was so on fire, that edge that you had, that grit that you had, and you drop it, you cannot walk out and get it back on your own. You can't get it on your own because you never got it on your own in the first place. So he knows where to go. He goes to Elijah. He knows where to go. You know what? We know where to go to, but we just don't do it. We know who to go to. Can I tell you what his name is? His name is Jesus. But you know what? We've walked over him before. We walk over him sometimes. We don't give him first place. We don't give him front seat. We don't give him the honor that he is due. We push him to the side. We push him to the rear. Our guilt becomes a wedge in between us. Our sin becomes a wedge between us and him. And we begin to self-justify what we're doing. We justify the wrong and we try to make it into a right because it's us, but other people do it, it's a wrong. And so the servant goes up there and he says, it was borrowed. You know, everything that God gives to you, I almost think is almost borrowed. Verse 6, the man of God said this. Where did it fall? I'm going to ask you a question. And you're going to know the answer. Where did you lose that grit you once had for Christ? Where did you lose it at? Where'd you lose that fire you had when you used to share the gospel with people? When you used to bring other people's prayer requests up, other lost people's names up in prayer service? Where is that? Because I'm not hearing it. Where is your fire? Where is that closeness that you had with the Lord? Where is that closeness that you had with Christ when you felt like you were just walking on air? You were so excited. The blessings have slowed down. prayers have slowed down. Your commitment to worship is so scattered, you don't know when the last time you really went to worship. I'm not talking to church, I'm talking to worship. But thank God, because He says He'll never leave you, never forsake you. But we have a tendency to drift, don't we? And He asks him, He says, Elijah says, where did it fall? God's going to take you back there because you just can't. This, Jesus, forgive me of my sins and help me have a great day. Amen. And you know that you're wrestling in your relationship with God and you're doing that. Come on now. We do that, don't we? We do that. We go through that fast drive-through, say that prayer. We want that get-a-go box, that quick fast meal, and right out the door because we don't want to look. We don't want to go inside. We don't want to talk to Him and really get personal. We don't want to look into His eyes, but we want Him to hear what we have to say. We want to talk at God, but we don't want to talk with God. We don't want to listen. Then He says, where'd you drop it? And He knew exactly where it was. And He knew exactly where it is. You see, my 3 years, my hiatus from 3 years from the Lord, I knew where I dropped it. I knew when it started. I knew how it was. It was the most miserable 3 years of my life. In my life with the Lord, it was miserable. I jumped on that bandwagon. When I wanted something, I'd pray. When I was in trouble, I'd pray. But it wasn't until I got to that one spot and I knew where it was, I didn't have to say a thing. I just broke. I didn't have to say a thing because I knew my relationship with God was not right. I knew it wasn't where He wanted it to be, but I kept doing my thing. And then I ran out of gas. If you don't get it right with God, God's going to let you run and run and run until you run out of gas, until you what? You know what He did? What did this guy do? Bible says this, he cried out. Not that Jesus, thank you for the day, help me get through this, Lord help me with my finances, amen, I got to go. But I'm going to ask you a question here, I'm going to ask you and put it before you right now. I'm not saying you have to be this charismatic person, but I'm going to ask you, when's the last time you got on your knees, I mean seriously, got on your knees and you cried out to a holy God because you know He's holy, because He has Jesus Christ right there next to Him. They know you, them guys know you. And you sit there and live day after day and month after month, year after year, thinking you got it together, but deep down, you don't. And you know you don't. You know you dropped it, you lost it, but you're going to act like you didn't. And you can fool everyone, but you're not going to fool those guys. And they're going to let you go travel until you get to that point where you cry out, Lord, I lost it. We're not talking about salvation. We're talking about that kindled relationship. We're almost end up being like in Esau and Jacob. We don't want to be like that. Where we're almost standoffish to God. Is He going to harm me? No. So he cries out. And the prophet says, where did it fall? And I'm going to tell you, God knows where it fell. But God's going to ask you that from time to time. You know why He does that? Conversation. We got to learn to quit talking at God. Go back and read Exodus. Look at that conversation with God and Moses. That was a conversation of awesomeness, some human ugliness. From Moses' side, patience from the Lord's side. But they worked it out. Same thing with the book of Job. Men that knew how to talk to God, spent time talking to God, talking with God, but not talking at God. And this man says, I lost it. And the other man says, do you know where it went? He says, yes, it was over here. Conversation is beginning. And he throws his stick out in the water. And this is the amazing piece. Elijah says, he's like, I'm not going to pick it up because it's not mine. I cannot pick up your relationship with Christ today. I can't do it. You can't pick up mine. But we can share with each other how to get it back. And you can't get it back without God. And I would probably bet there's going to have to be a little confession in there. You know, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of all our sins and all of our unrighteousness. Here's the thing. We don't know what confess really means. Confess means you've got to open your mouth and you've got to say what you did. Not just, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Jesus, forgive me of, Lord, I really just, man, I talked to my wife in a way that was just so unhonorable. So unhonorable. It's where your sin messes you up because it's, you need to deal with it. And you feel the mess up. You feel the pain of the sin that you did. We don't want to feel the ugliness and the sin that we do to others. But that's the part of the confession piece. We confess it before the Lord, and then when we talk through it, then we really confess it. We ask for the forgiveness, and when Jesus wipes it away, He takes it away. That's experiencing Scripture. Not just knowing it, not just learning it, but experiencing it. And I could probably imagine there's a lot of us here today that we need to work out some things in our life with our relationship with Christ, our relationship with some of the others, and our personal attitudes. Because the fire and the grit for the Lord Jesus Christ, are you at your best right now? Because when you're not, we have a tendency to lean with a negative attitude. We want to not build up towers, but we want to tear other people down, not lift people up. So here's what He said. He said, pick it up for yourself. Not in a bad way, but He said, pick it up for yourself. There it is. There are things that only God can do. You can't make an axe head float. I can't do it. You can't get that spiritual peace that God has. You can't get it on your own. But God will offer it. God can bring it up. Just like with salvation. God will have it there, but you've got to grab it. He says, you need to pick it up. You pick it up for yourself. For yourself. Some of you and some of us make life harder than it should be. Because we're still trying to do it our way. You know what a sold out person for Jesus is? You know what they look like? It's not a person that comes on Sunday morning. And just on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights and Sunday school and everything that the church has to offer. Those are great servants and great committed people. But a person that's really sold out for Jesus Christ, they can't help but talk about Him. They can't help but want to jump into things wherever the Lord is doing. They're praising the Lord in their cars. They're always thinking about the things of the Lord. They're always... Things in the world bother them, not because they are fearful, but because they see the lostness and the sinful things of the world. And they just see and they begin to, and what happens is the heart of Jesus is beginning to be their heart beat. It's when you're concerned more for others than you are for yourself. Some of us have dropped our axe head. And it's in a deep water. And we cannot pick it up. But with God, doing what God can do. We have that conversation. He'll rise it up. But you're going to have to get it. Now, why is that all possible? How is that all possible? Because the one that sits next to the Father. I want you to look at me for a minute. I want to remind you of something because we drifted a little bit this morning. Jesus is going to do what Jesus does. He's going to speak on your behalf before the Father. The Father's sitting there listening. My question for you is, when Jesus begins to speak about you, what is He saying? How is that conversation going? What does it look like? What does it sound like? If we don't want to know what it sounds like, then we got an issue with our relationship with Jesus. Jesus is the one. He is the only one. He is the Son of God. He's the one that came and died for you. He gave His life freely for you. He could have came as a conqueror and did it all and been done away with. But Jesus is our Savior. He is our counsel. He's the one that sent the counsel. All that stuff that we have, it's because God loves us. Let's not trash what God has given to us. It sinks. Because we're not paying attention. It sinks because we lose what's important. I know this. Working with tools like an axe, you have to be careful. You have to, before you start swinging, you have to make sure that head is not moving already. Because if you do, you're going to hurt somebody. You can kill somebody. That thing's just moving. A person who knows how to use an axe, they will make sure. And if not, they'll throw it right back in the water, let it dry out, and it'll expand. It'll be tight. You got to work on your relationship with God. You got to work on your relationship with Jesus Christ. When it's not going well, you know what you do? When you feel like, how many of you all felt, I just don't feel like I know where the Lord is. I've been in this spot. I've dropped the axe head several times. Sometimes it just comes off by accident. I'm not sure what's going on. It's there. It's sunk. And that's what God says, it's okay. That's what draws me back to God. When things aren't going great, because I pray more when things aren't going great. Do you? And so I get to that point, and I begin to pray and pray and pray and work it out, and I wrestle with it, and I wrestle with God. It's okay. It's okay to have that conversation with God when you're not sure what to say, when you're not sure what to do, but you know what you're doing is the right thing. You're talking to the one that knows. I love the testimonies for the last 15 years, but I can't live off of those today. They're encouraging, but I can't live off old testimonies. I've got to have a new one because I'm still breathing. And God still has plans. God is still doing things. I'm still living. If my relationship with God is not right, and when it wasn't right with me, can I tell you how I felt? I felt like nothing really in the first place was going right. No matter what I did, I never had a peace. My sin was always before me. I knew what I'd done. It was always in front of me, dangling. I couldn't make it go away. I talked about God like everybody else needed him, but I kind of fooled people and myself that my life and my relationship with Jesus was just fine. And God put up with me for 3 years. But as I laid in that bed in New York, I had literally felt like somebody kicked me and I ended up on the floor in my bedroom. I knew exactly what it was. I knew the Lord said, get up and be the man I created you to be. I found myself in this little bitty church by myself, not without my family, but a lot of people there. I don't know what the man preached on. I felt guilty when I walked the first step on that parking lot. I pulled my vehicle on there. I walked in there. I said, I wanted to leave. And I knew what was coming. You know what I feared the most? The altar call. Because I knew that's when the Lord began to pull. I can almost feel it right now. I remember it was so intense in my life. And I stood there in my military uniform. I wasn't going to let emotions get the best of me. But whatever they were singing, it wasn't louder than what the Holy Spirit was singing. You know what I knew I needed to do? I just needed to get right with God. And there was only one way to do it. You see, for 3 years, I didn't bow. I never got on my knees. I'd pray in those fast drive-through prayers, getting that fast meal all the time. Had a few cards on my desk once in a while, or my dresser, little scriptures I tried to memorize, but I was just kept trying to do everything what I was supposed to do, all the things, but not the one thing. And he began to play the music, and my foot just went straight forward. I'm like, here we go. I knew what it was. Because as a believer, you know. You already know. And I got down and I didn't go to the side. I didn't go to that side. I went right down, smack dab right there in the middle. Because if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it the right way. I'm telling you what, I didn't even see it. I was so blurred from breaking down all the way from there to there. And when I knelt down, I broke down. But I want to tell you something. I don't know these people, but every person in that church was around me. They never asked me what my problem was, but I heard people praying for me. And I stood up and I walked away fresh. You know what it was? I got rid of the junk and I left it at the altar. When I say I left it, I left it. I never was the same again. And I left it right there. You see, you know what it was? I dropped my wedge. I was saved at 12. Some good testimonies. But I dropped my spiritual life. And I knew where to get it. I tried to get it my way, but it didn't work. God raised it up in a way that was, you know where it's at? I know where it's at. For me and him, it was back at an altar, right dead smack in the middle. But you know what he said? Now you pick it up. I did it. I had to stand up. I had to walk out and be a different man. But you know what? How awesome God is? He loves to encourage you through other people. I walked out to my vehicle and I'm saying, man, I got to go to work. I'm wiping tears out of them. I said, man, what just happened? I go, oh, man, I just feel free. I was just, man. And a man said, and just called me by my rank and by my name. I'm like, uh-oh. And it was my lieutenant. I didn't even know he was there. And then he just basically said, Staten, I know where you've been. I have been there. If you need anything, you just give me a call. And from an officer to an enlisted, that's usually not what happens. He asked me a little bit about myself. He said, you know what, I'm a Southern Baptist as well. I'm like, what? Because I used to use the Southern Baptist title. That got me through everything. But God wasn't interested in my Southern Baptist title. Folks, I came to a point where I had to cry out, and I cried out on that bedroom. I didn't know how to fix it, and I cried out at the altar, and the Lord said, there it is, pick it up, and I had to pick it up. And I'm telling you, some of you have been there for a long time. You need to pick it up. You need to pick it up. He's telling you today is the day where to get your life back on track, because God's not done with you yet. He's got a plan for you. And when you're not doing what God's called you to do, you're not in the plan. You've lost. You've fallen off the yellow brick road. You are off the path. And God says, here it is. Now you pick it up for yourself. And you pick it up. I'm telling you, you walk out this door different than when you came in. You won't have to put the mask on anymore. You won't have to hide behind a title of Southern Baptist anymore. You won't have to hide behind all the other things. You can just be who God wants you to be. And that's to be the son He's called you to be. The daughter He's called you to be. Quit playing around and thinking you got it figured out. You don't know anything about relationships. I know nothing about relationships, but God does. He created that first couple, and He's been working with relationships all the way since then. And He knows the heartbreaks and the breaking moments and the discord in families, the separation in families, the pain, the alcohol, the drugs, the sexuality issues, all that. He deals with that every single day. And your problem is no bigger than someone else's. And if it is, God is not going to find something new. Somebody's already been down the path before you. But as one was cutting down the tree, the iron axe fell into the water, and he cried out and he said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. So the man of God said, where did it fall? And he showed him the place, so he cut down off a stick and he threw it in there, and he made the iron float. Therefore he said, pick it up for yourself. So he reached out his hand and he took it. Father, I thank you for the day. I thank you, Lord, that you give us second and third and 200 chances, because I'm on that list. And Lord, I hate to say it, but I know I'm going to need some in the future, because I'm just human. Thank you, Lord. Seven times? Oh, my goodness. Father, I know today there are some of us that our relationship with Jesus isn't where you want it to be. We're just passing in the hallway, saying hi and being polite, not personal. Lord, today there'll be probably some here that just need to get their relationship with you right. And the only way to do it, they can't get it on their own. They need to reach out to you, and you're calling them, showing them it's right here. It's right now. Here it is. Pick it up for yourself. Lord, we know that some here is probably struggling with some sin that they can't get through. Before, Lord, I'm going to tell you, Lord, we know, Lord, that that is the lie of the devil. For we can confess any sin, all sin. And if we are true with our hearts, and we confess it with our tongues to you, you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and all that ungodly living. All of it. Lord, I pray that you'll give us an ears to hear it and a heart to believe it. Lord, I just kind of think today that we just need to trust you a little bit more than we've been trusting you as individuals. So, Father, I pray that you'll just examine each heart today. And for anyone here that doesn't know you, I pray, Lord, that you're reaching into their heart today and you're knocking on their heart's door. And may they open it today and pick up salvation. And only do it through Jesus Christ. Father, as we stand, I pray, Lord, that our hearts would be right in these few moments that we call the altar call. For there was a time when I was saved on an altar call, but there was another time when I had to get it right. Because the way I was living my life before you. I thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness. But in this time today, I ask that your Spirit would move upon us, that your will would be done. In Christ's name, amen.